the excitement that was around, it was cool. You feel so good about history.
A change of perspective gives you a clue, an appreciation for what other people have done, why they've done it, how they've done it, and even more important, all of that is the fact that it gives you an inkling of what you can do if and when you have to.
The day after the small group of us walked into the plaza, there were some other reenactors that arrived a little bit later, and so we gathered about 2 o'clock that next day and did another march into the plaza again, giving more folks a chance to participate in the trek's arrival. We had some publicity there, and we also had some interviews and photos. The fun thing that day was Kevin trying to find a straight-edge razor, because he had determined that he was going to shave his beard in front of everyone at the big multi-stake event there at San Diego State Park. So that was quite a challenge trying to find one of those. And then Kevin was nervous about actually how to use it and not slitting his throat.
Well, then you got to join us in San Diego, you and Becky. So Becky got to come along. So, would you like to share with us what you remember about being in San Diego, especially for the more battalion activity in Old Town?
Well, let me first of all, I came home from Yuma, and one of my scouting buddies is Brent Hoffines, and we were working quite close together on varsity scout projects. Not in a unit, but on a district level. And we were key three on this one project, and we had a lot of talk time, and I talked to him about the Mormon Battalion thing and going down to Yuma. And he says, "Well, I've got a relative that was in the Mormon Battalion." And he said he indicated that his family was originally out of the Parowan, Utah area. And he had an interest. He says, "I would really like to go down to that." And I says, "Well, pack your bags, we're going." So him and his sister and Becky and I, we got all prepped and everything to head to San Diego to be part of this January event. What is it, 29th, I think. And we loaded up the truck. We had a teepee that we used in scouting, so we thought, well, Kevin's going to be down at this park or scout camp, and we'll go big. So we loaded on their 18-foot teepee on top of my truck and threw a bunch of stuff in to be comfortable and headed to California. And we weren't going for gold this time; we were going for history. So
You're doing the Beverly Hillbillies thing.
Well, to give you a little idea, we there's a check agricultural check stations to come off the desert before you get into California, and we pull into it, and we've got these almost, well, 28-foot lodge pole poles, about 15 of them on top of my truck on a construction rack, and hanging out the front of my truck and hanging off the back of my truck, and we pull in, and the guy, asked us the usual questions, and I don't know how it come up, but he said something. He says, "Yeah, I've seen teepees come through here before. I know that's those are teepee poles. I know exactly what you got on top."
Oh, yeah.
And so it was kind of interesting that here we are trucking across the desert, and I'm sure people were wondering, what's that guy doing with those poles on top of his truck? But one guy knew.
So, what do you remember about your drive to San Diego, Becky?
I really don't remember an awful lot, other than I remember that I was excited just because Mark was so excited and so into this. And of course, I wanted to meet you two because I'd heard so much about both of you. So that's kind of, I don't know, I was just excited. And I wasn't teaching school. I took a day off so I could go and play with Mark.
Vacation, yeah.
Well, it was really fun to have so many people that had helped us on the trail and had been on the trail with us be there for that big, huge event in Old Town San Diego. And having you part of that was great.
Yeah, we were pretty excited to be down there. Like I said, over in Yuma, out in the middle of desolation. And the next event we were going to was, we're driving down through this metro area and interstate and traffic and everything. And we're navigating the interstate and we get down there and we're looking for this exit and that exit and this street. And I'm thinking, wow, this is totally different than driving down to Yuma. That was a fun experience to drive. But now we're down here in all this traffic and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a lot of work, but I'm still excited to be there. And between Brent and I, we were trying to navigate and get where we needed to be.
Oh, yeah, with those long poles. That would have been awful.
Yeah.
So tell us about your teepee and how you put it up.
How'd you start getting a teepee and why?
Well, the reason we acquired the teepee is that I was involved with the Order of the Arrow, which is part of the Boy Scouts of America. It's an honor society for scouts. If they get elected to it, and they can be part of the OA.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, back to Brent Hoffines, he was involved. We were all involved in scouting on the district and even council level. And I was a chapter advisor for the Order of the Arrow. And we were attending Eagle Court of Honor for one or two of our boys. And the OA had done a presentation at this Eagle Court of Honor. And at the meeting, he leaned over to me and he says, Mark, the OA needs a teepee. He says, now, I'm willing to buy it and pay for it if you're willing to take care of it and keep track of it. He says, I don't want it to go to the council or the district because they lose things. He says, if you'll be the owner, so to speak, of it, I'll pay for it. Wow. So I acquired a teepee. And what's interesting is that 10 years prior or something, I had thought about getting the teepee because I was involved with the scouts then, and it wasn't really with the OA. But at the time, I was driving an 84 Jimmy, which is like a Blazer. They're just two doors and they're short wheelbase and everything. And I did the math and realized the length of poles, and the poles would have been twice as long as my truck, if not three times. And so it kind of went in the bin. So at this later date, I had a vehicle that was a little bit longer, so it could more easily load the poles on it. So it became a reality, and that's how we acquired it.
Well, isn't that the true thing about scouting? You acquire so many things because you have to for the boys.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you do it. Whatever it takes to keep them interested and keep them engaged and give them something to do.
Yep.
Well, you're talking about the different experience between driving to Yuma and driving into San Diego. And that was the same thing for me. It was really culture shock. I mean, we'd been, going 40 miles an hour maximum on some of these dirt roads and just poking along. And all of a sudden we've got cars whizzing by and busy roads and buildings on both sides of the road. It just was a totally different experience to walk through San Diego.
It was a culture shock. It really was.
It really was. And then to be invited to stay at the Balboa Scout Camp, which was right in San Diego, right?
Yeah, it's down the middle of the city.
Yes.
It's scout camp right in the middle of the city. I couldn't believe it.
I know, that's the same thing I was. Kevin says, we're going to stay in the scout camp. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad. We're going to get out of this cement city. And there we are in the middle of the San Diego with a chain link fence around us. And there's bushes around the chain link fence.
And there's interstate right to the side of us.
And right next to us, we can hear the cars whizzing by on the interstate. So it was just a really odd combination of environments and people, and then you bring the teepee and put it up. And so it just was really kind of neat to have that, because it kind of took me back to, okay, remember, you were out in the woods, you were in the wilderness, you had an experience with a teepee, just kind of try to block all this other stuff out.
Well, and wasn't it butted right up against the San Diego Zoo too?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they were just south of us.
Yeah.
Or across the interstate, I forget, one of the two. But you know, the really weird thing is, after we had done the event on Saturday and we had our little get together soiree and dinner and potluck dinner there at the camp with all the friends and families, you know, everybody dispersed and pretty much went home. I'm outside putting things away at the end of the day, and the lights have come on and a little bit of fog is starting to roll in off the ocean. And here comes a coyote loping through the back end of the scout camp. In the middle of the freaking city. A coyote? What? That was just weird.
It was so bizarre.
The other funny thing for me about being at the scout camp was we had a curfew.
Yes.
And do you remember that? I mean, it was such a traumatic thing, because here we'd spent months just doing our own thing and being where we wanted to be, when we wanted to be there. And all of a sudden we were told, you have to be inside this fence by 10 o'clock.
Yep.
If not, you're going to be locked out.
Oh, yeah.
And we just barely made it in, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah.
We did. It was just down to the wire. So that was another interesting, okay, we're back in civilization. We're not on our own doing our own thing anymore. Is there any other memories that you have or thoughts that you wanted to share that we didn't cover?
Well, what I guess we got up Saturday morning and we jumped in our vehicles and we found the address where we were supposed to be at, and pulled in the parking lot, and we got out and we had our regalia on. Kevin handed out some stuff that I could wear, and so we kind of got dressed for the part. Out of one of the boxes, he pulls out this gun, long gun, hands it to me, and here I'm holding this gun in the middle of this parking lot in California, and I'm thinking, you know, California isn't real friendly with guns. I'm not sure if I want to carry this thing around. And he just assured me, said something, I don't know what it was, and oh, it's just a historical event or something, blah blah blah, and I says, okay, fine, I'm gonna stick close to you. And then at some point in time during that day, after we did a lot of the festives, I think we were getting hungry and we decided we'd break for lunch. So somebody on their cell phone had identified a restaurant a couple of blocks away. And so we start our walk down through this business area, and there's restaurants and there's people looking at us, and we've got this stuff on that looked like we marched out of history, and we're carrying these long guns. And we went in and seated at this restaurant, and here we are sitting at the restaurant table with these guns sitting on our lap. Thought it was kind of interesting. That was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. We got a few looks here and there.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Becky, do you have any other thoughts or memories?
Well, kind of. I know I just appreciate the people that, like you, that reenact things. Mark and I have also been able to, at two different reenactments, we weren't involved in them, but we went to them. The first one was in 1996 when Utah celebrated their statehood. And we took our little children at that point in time to that, and was able to see exactly how it all played out and the excitement that was around. It was cool. And then just a couple of years ago, we went to Promontory Point, where the two railroads, the Central and the Union Pacific Railroads, met on May 10th in 1869. But they had a celebration for their 150th. And Mark says, I'm going. And I said, well, I'll come too, you know. But Curtis, our son, had his little daughter. And so they went with us. So we were able to experience that. And it's the same thing. You feel so good about history and learning, and you want others to know about it. And so anybody, if you find out anytime about a reenactment, you need to become involved and attend or be in it.
Yeah, it's quite a, it's an eye-opener once you start reading the journals. You get a sense for the person, whether they were a complainer, whether they were a very positive outlook kind of a person. You begin to appreciate the sacrifices, the personal sacrifices they made. The pathos, you know, someone loses a child on the trail, or their wife dies, or their husband dies, and then he's got a particular story about a wife who just, you know, it makes you cry to hear this story. But it's a touchstone.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
And if you can participate, like Becky said, then there's another added layer of understanding, right?
Yep.
I remember my girlfriends coming home from River of Time and saying, oh my gosh, I did not realize how much I missed paper towels.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And just little things that you just, and the kids would say, I didn't realize it was so much work to make dinner.
Yeah.
Because we would have them help make all the things and peel the vegetables and haul the water and get the fire going. You know, it's not like mom calls you to dinner and there it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it just gives you a different perspective, which is always good, I think, for all of
them.
Yeah, it is. A change of perspective gives you a clue, an appreciation for what other people have done, why they've done it, how they've done it, and even more important, all of that is the fact that it gives you an inkling of what you can do if and when you have to.
Oh, I love that, Mark. Yes. And that's one of the things that I think has been very interesting for me personally as we've gone through these interviews and listened to people talk about their ancestors and the sacrifices and the struggles that they had. There is this sense of, I don't know the right word, but it's in my heart now that I can do those things too if I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would wimp out, because it's kind of like, it's not a badge of courage, but it is like a badge of courage. Look, my ancestors did this and I came from their stock. So somewhere deep down in my DNA, I got to have some of that myself.
Yep. That's what we hope for.
If you describe your time on the trail with us in one word, both of you, which word would you choose and why?
One word?
You don't have to use the same word, though.
Oh, yes. You can each have your own word.
I would say one word. I would use, I'm going to toss this out and I'll think about it. Enlightened. Because I learned so much. Just, you know, whether it be driving down to the border or and being on the desert and then seeing how many people were involved at the annual event down there in Old Town. And then being able to follow the trails and the journal, some of the journals writings that, you know, I've been able to look through, a lot of the information you guys have presented. It's enlightening. Yesterday after church, we came home and plugged in a video that's made by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it's entitled
More Precious Than Gold.
Yeah, that's it.
That's, you know, it's the opportunity to see what people did, and things don't just fall in place. It takes work. It takes effort for those roads to be built from the Santa Fe to the coast and then across the Sierras back into Nevada, and the difference it made. Just a few people can make a big difference in a lot of people's lives.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, me too.
What about you, Becky?
Well, I kind of would say grateful, because those people did so much. I don't think we always realize how much went on before us until we delve into it. And like he said, we did watch that video yesterday, and the woman that went at 18 because she had just barely gotten married and wanted to be with her husband, and then she ended up pregnant on the trek and having her baby and then having it die. I'm just so grateful for them and for their perseverance.
Yeah, Melissa Corey.
Yeah, that's her name.
It's an incredible story, and I am grateful that I even know about it, because so many people don't.
So. Exactly.
Yep.
Thank you very much for taking time to visit with us and remember and reminisce and chuckle and great memories of you guys. So thanks again for making time for us tonight.
Sounds great.
All righty. Hey, thanks you guys. Have a great night.
You too. Yep, thanks.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Sure love you, bud.
Sure love you too.